from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
And welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, we are joined by Tim Fitzgerald at Life of Fitz on social media and all the purple-lit glory behind him. It looks good. We love being able to do this on video now here, 12 News Connected. On X, YouTube, Facebook, all the different video options you have to take it in. We'll put out a disclaimer. Just easy, ladies. You're looking at three married men here. All right. So just take it easy a little bit. Enjoy it. You know, enjoy this three-headed smoke show. Is that fair? I think that's fair.
I like that.
That was the name of my alternative rock band when I was in college. Three-headed smoke show.
Okay.
I'm gonna stay
back on that one. All right. So we're into fall camp. And follow Fitz at Life of Fitz. Find all the work at gopowercat.com, of course. We're into fall camp, Fitz. We're not there though. It's been quiet. It is that time of year where we really lean into what you guys are doing. What are we seeing? Vibe checks. Like, what are your early impressions now? I guess we're a couple of weeks into fall camp.
It just feels a little bit like a construction project. You know, they know where they're headed, but they've still got work to do, you know, particularly getting Dylan Edwards woven into what they want to do. I mean, he just arrived in the summer, missed spring football, and they got a lot of things they want to do with him, but they're just slowly progressing. It's interesting watching the staff run a fall camp because they explain that they throw everything at him up front. They overwhelm them, and then they come back and address everything, and they seem to understand it better the second time around. And that's the process they're in now, is getting them acclimated to everything. And, they'll get up and totally get after it here in the next week or so with, you know, physical play, inter-squad scrimmages and all that. But it's a process that has begun. That means football is just around the corner.
Yeah, so, you know, knowing where we're at in the schedule and getting closer and closer to that opening week game, are they at the stage now where it's more about final touches and, you know, getting everything sort of finalized exactly with schemes and assignments and that sort of thing? Or are there still more fundamental decisions that are in the process of being made leading up to the season?
I think there are a few position battles that are, you know, still lingering. Left tackle is one that kind of caught us a little bit off guard. We thought the Kilty from North Dakota was brought in to start, but he's getting pressure from John Pastore, one of the young guys. And that's interesting. That's a positive sign for some of the development of those young linemen. We've been wondering when they'll start making their appearance. But yeah, other than a few position battles, it's literally a build towards the start of the season and unleashing this team, guys, that I think is going to be pretty good when it's all put together.
So left tackle battles, we talk about that with the Chiefs a lot. Young guy challenging, is that a good sign or a bad sign?
It's an interesting sign, I got to say, because everyone raved about Kilty there in the spring, and now he's in a battle. And maybe it's just Coach Kleiman pulling a Bill Snyder, or what a lot of older coaches did, was just kind of create a competition to get the guy that should be best kicked it in gear. But you know what? They're trying to sort out their depth at offensive line, so they probably want to foster some competition, even though probably four of the positions are really locked in at this point.
You mentioned Dylan Edwards Fitz a couple of minutes ago, and you know, he's been in the last couple of days giving some interviews and talking about settling in to the Kansas State program, being in Manhattan, what he hopes to bring to the team. Coach Kleiman has talked about him in recent days. So it's not just the acclimation, I don't think. It's also exactly, and we've talked about this before, how he'll be utilized in that offense. And especially when you've got a returner in DJ Giddens, who's been, you know, a solid contributor offensively for this team. Are you getting, do you know if that has all kind of shaken out as far as the usage of him and what it's going to look like for Edwards compared to the way they use DJ Giddens?
Yeah, that's one of the big questions coming into the season, is how will they balance all of that? And I think the coaches have made it clear DJ Giddens is going to get his touches. Nobody's going to subtract from what he offers to the offense. And, you know, DJ talked about he wants to get even further comfortable in the receiving end of the passing game. And that's actually an area where we think he's done pretty well. How they use Dylan Edwards is the thing that I think we're all trying to wrap our minds around. Yeah, he'll be running back at times. They did that with Trayshawn Ward, rotating him in. But it was mostly Giddens. And this guy, Dylan Edwards, offers him an opportunity to put him in the slot, use him at receiver, do some different formation things that maybe they wouldn't have done without him, to get both of those guys on the field more often. And, you know, he's also part of the return duties. So they're going to find as many ways to get Dylan Edwards with the ball in his hands as possible without really undercutting what they know works in the offense, which is DJ Giddens running the ball on a regular basis.
Even more so early in the year. Last year, I felt like Tim Fitzgerald, gopowercat.com, when we watched K-State early, we've seen this over the years with them. Maybe it feels like they hold something back early in the year to save it. They can't really do that this year with new play caller, new quarterback. Like there's no way they hold anything back out of the gates, is there? Not to mention that, you know, they got to win these games, but I don't think we see that this year. I don't even think we have that question like we have in some years.
No, I think you're right. Look, they did that 2 years ago against Tulane and then got themselves in a position where they couldn't come back and win. I think the days of holding back too much, they have to be done pretty soon. There's enough competitive balance now where you can't just slide through games. And even if you're a pretty good team, someone can get up and bite you. And if you let them into the game and they're hanging around the fourth quarter, you're in trouble. So, yeah, I agree with you. You have to hold back some stuff, but you can't hide the playbook. You know, you can't just say we're going to run these, you know, 9-10 plays the entire game. You need to put some of it out on the field, not just to win the game, but also so that it's more effective. The guys have done it in a game situation. That's the great balance between coaches. They don't want to show it, but then they don't want to run it in public, so then they don't really run it right sometimes once they put it out on the field. But yeah, they need to not mess around. I mean, they go to Tulane week two and Arizona week three, and Tennessee Martin's a pretty good FCS team, and we know what that can do to a team that looks past someone. So yeah, they can't hold back, man. They got to roll it out there and maybe add some few layers as they go, but they can't have watered down versions of themselves at any point this season.
Fitz, let's talk about our old buddy, Will Howard. Yesterday, Will made some comments. Of course, he's at Ohio State now, battling to be the starting quarterback for the Buckeyes this year. For people that didn't hear the comments that Howard made, I'm going to quote him. He said, "I think the one thing," and this is about the difference between Ohio State and Kansas State, he says, and I quote, "I think the one thing I would say is that I don't feel like I have to be a hero here, and I feel like I have the guys around me to where I just need to facilitate and just get them the ball and make good decisions. At the end of the day, I don't have to go out there and do anything superhuman. I just have to be myself and trust the guys around me." A lot of chatter and talk, especially on social media in the last 24 hours, that, you know, was that a backhanded compliment, to K-State? Was he being critical of his time in Manhattan? Talking about how he needed to feel like he had to be a hero for the Wildcats. Did you take anything away from that, or is he mainly just talking about the talent that he's got at Ohio State?
Yeah, that was the intention, talking about the obvious talent they have, NFL-level talent at skill positions. I get that. We all addressed that when he made the transfer. It'll be fun to watch him with better receivers. I can tell you that from what he had last year. But in the process, talking about he needed to be the hero implies that if he didn't win the game, nobody else was. And I that's so far from the truth. I think it's baffling. And I like to think that Will misspoke, but also, we saw some signs from Will at the end of the year that he simply didn't like the competition of Avery Johnson. He didn't react well to it. And, then he picked up and left. I think he's still trying to puff his chest up a little bit about how incredible he was at K-State, and he was very good. He helped this team win a Big 12 title in 2022. But I don't think any of us ever thought, oh, Will needs to be the hero for this team to succeed. I hope that thought didn't exist in his head, because that's never what was asked of Will Howard. But, Will Howard, you're the quarterback. That nobody, even Ohio State's not looking for, hey, let's get a good game manager. Let's get one of those. They want a playmaker. They want someone that's going to go out there and be a little bit dynamic. And that goes with the position. And so don't act like the stresses of being the starting quarterback and leading the offense is just about you trying to be the hero or needing to be the hero, I guess. That's not at all what it was. It was a strange comment. I mean, the dude had Deuce Vaughn next to him in 2022. He had DJ Giddens and other people. Ben Sennett was a second-round pick. He didn't need to be the hero. Just get the ball to other people sometimes.
And, be available. Health is a big part of it. Look, maybe he can be. Georgia's won natties with facilitators at quarterback. Maybe he can do it. Who knows? He'll be interesting to watch. What'd you make of the poll, Fitz? KU gets in for the first time since 2008. K-State's there. Polls mean something, probably less than they used to, but they do mean something as we try to organize and understand expectations early in a year. That felt about right. And I know a lot of people are focused in on, oh, how many SEC and Big Ten teams are in there, and are they? I don't really care. I feel like 17 feels about right for K-State.
Yeah,
I think we all feel like they could be much higher than that by the time CFP rankings roll out, but they have enough questions that I think that's fair. And I think it was probably in reality fair to the Big 12. What it tells me is the coaches don't know how to sort out the Big 12 either. You got five teams all jammed in there with about the same ranking. Like, that's kind of what the Big 12 is. But it was good to see both the teams we're watching closely in there.
I agree. I don't know what world 8 of the top 16 can be from one conference. Granted, look, the SEC is really good, but
they're not going to stay there, though.
No,
I don't think it'll sort itself out. But you're asking coaches. That's the thing. Like, don't. We're asking coaches to try and guess at a ranking of teams. They don't know either. So what are they supposed to do? If they, if they're looking at like talent and everything, they're just taking a swing at it. We know it's not going to stay that way. Too many teams will lose too many games. They have to.
Yeah. Let's just say preseason polls are folly. I mean, in fact, they're damaging in some ways, because now you've established, those SEC teams are supposed to be great. So now they got to lose a couple times to start falling out. And maybe they're just not good. And you totally overestimated them. Polls give some an advantage going forward. And if you're a team like an Iowa State that people don't expect to be good, and then you turn out to be really good and start winning a bunch of games, you got a long ways to climb. No fault of your own, just because the voters decided you need to climb. And that's my problem with preseason polls. Look, the SEC is great, but, I mean, they got 10 of the top 25, and that's just not possible once they start playing league games. They're just going to start knocking each other off.
Yeah, and who knows the way that, you know, obviously everything will shake out between now and December. But at the same time, you know, I think that for the Big 12 specifically, the question becomes, with the way the poll sort of fell, what's the likelihood of the Big 12 getting more than just their automatic qualifier into the 12-team playoff? Yeah. And of course, there are multiple teams from the Big 12 that are in the top 25, but, you know, they're all further down in the polls. Now, of course, that's going to change between now and December for sure. And as you mentioned, you know, like the SEC, they're going to beat up on each other and there's going to be a lot of movement. But, you know, my biggest takeaway was from looking at those polls, it might be tougher than I initially thought for the Big 12 to get more than just one team in the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are realizing that now. And let's be honest here, a 10-win Big 12 team that's not the champion is probably going to lose a head-to-head battle with a 9-win SEC or Big 10 team, even if the resume doesn't sort that out. Look, I'm going to accept that the SEC is going to – you're going to play a tougher schedule. You just are. Big 10, I don't accept that.
Yeah, I don't either.
There's just a lot of crappy teams in that conference that, you know, I mean – Nebraska lost to Colorado last year, if I remember correctly, and Colorado stunk. And, you know, that's just that ongoing media bias of these were the teams that were good when I was a kid. They got to be good now. And it frustrates the hell out of me. But what the Big 12 needs to do is they need to get into this non-conference schedule and win games.
Yep.
Iowa State needs to beat Iowa, et cetera. They just need to start winning these games.
Three or fewer losses, I think, are going to give a Big 12 team a pretty good chance. Two or fewer losses, I think they're in. We just have to see if the problem is how good it is, really. Like, the depth is going to be a problem for that. But it's the first time through. We don't know yet how this plays out. We don't know what it looks like without Texas and Oklahoma. What is the likelihood that two Big 12 teams really are two of the top 12 teams in the country without Texas and Oklahoma? I mean, we want them to be, but maybe they're not. I mean, I think we got to be ready to accept that if that's the reality that plays itself out. Fitz, what do you make of Colorado? It has been weird, man. Like the stories now coming out of there from places too that I think we got to grain of salt it just a little bit, but you're hearing from former disgruntled players. Yeah. Like the stuff we hear about does not remind me of what I would think a prime-led program would be. But I don't know. Maybe it is.
Well, so many of the players that have transferred have said something to the effect, I want to go play for a real college football program. And that just is a weird statement. So I think in his effort to do things a little bit differently, to put that Coach Prime stamp on things, he's also let it go a little bit too feral in terms of fighting in practice and, you know, apparently hazing and antics in the locker room, and it just sounds like a total mess. I recognize that Coach Prime has been really good for the University of Colorado, and the presence of Deion Sanders is a magnet for the media, as we tend to be like a pack of wolves, and everyone's wandering towards Deion. It's obvious to see the public is interested by the TV ratings, so it's good for the Big 12. But what would be great for the Big 12, what would be incredible for the Big 12, is if it wasn't all talk. There was real substance to Colorado, because Colorado with Coach Prime has access to the upper echelon of college football that honestly Kansas State doesn't. And I think Utah's been somewhat blocked from at times, just because it's not that club. And I think if he can get things going straightened out, that'll be really good. But I also suspect that this will be his last year at Colorado. I agree with my Big 12 Insiders co-host, Brian Hanley, when he says, and Brian's a big Deion fan, that he thinks he'll step away at the end of the year for his health. And I think that's a pretty good analysis of what will happen. His sons will be done, and his health hasn't been great, so why keep persisting?
Yeah, the timing would be good. And I would maintain, too, I think Colorado will be in a better position no matter what happens after, if that happens, than they were before. What do you guys have going for us at GoPowerCat.com, Pitt?
Well, we got a number of things layered in there this week. We've been doing a lot of video, but we had press conferences. We got so many press conference interviews from this week. It loaded up the site. So you can find all that at GoPowerCat. Some great work by the fellas, but it still is a little bit slow in some ways in terms of, you know, straight up information. And so we're going to hit the reset next week with another open practice and get another dose of information and get rolling. But football season is just around the corner. I'm really fired up.
It's right on us. It's right on us. It's going to be awesome. All right. Check it all out. GoPowerCat.com. Check out Fitz's work at Life of Fitz. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, boys.
We're just counting down the days till football. My goodness, it's right here. We just can't wait for it, and then it'll be on us like a fly on poop,
like white on rice.
Yeah, whatever you want to, whatever you want.
Whatever
call
that
it.
Analogy is.
Fantasy. I've started to look at fantasy football now. I'm beginning my own process with that, which is always a blast.
You and I've been talking about our picks we're going to bring back this fall and what that might look like.
Yep, we're going to make football picks again this year. We're going to have some fun. This is going to be the best football season in the history of the world here with Sports Daily. All wrapped up in hyperbole. Why not? We've got this new 12 News Connected partnership. More ways to watch and take in the show than ever before. We're going to take advantage of it. All right, we'll come back. We'll shift to a little baseball, though, when we return, so make sure you stay tuned for that. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We appreciate Crestview Country Club's support of the show. It is golf weather. I'm going to get out there tonight, I think, try to do a little Twilight 9 holes with my son. 36 holes. You can almost always find a tee time if you really need one. Great restaurant, great facilities, great pool. It's all there at Crestview. Tell them we sent you. And give them a call. Take a tour of the new facilities. They've done a lot of updating in this summer season. We'll come back. More Sports Daily. Let's go back to the Royals when we return. Don't go away.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Well, let's set up real quick our second giveaway of the day. We'll give away a little bit of HTO for you here. You've already got the Tim Tebow giveaway going. You can also win some HTO with us today. A free iced tea, more than 20 flavors to choose from. A free rain coffee drink, iced hot, however you like it. All the different kinds of things. It's all available for you at HTO, and you can win one of each right now by texting the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We've also got the IHOP hotline open for you. It is back open. Our thanks to TJ Cleland, Tim Fitzgerald for joining the show. It is yours the rest of the way. Jad has it for you. 869-1240 IHOP, bringing back It's All You Can Eat Pancakes deal, by the way, through September 15th. Let's go to the IHOP hotline now, where we have Cole on the line. Let's talk a little fantasy football. Cole, right in our wheelhouse. What's up, man?
Well, good morning. I'm getting ready to do my draft here in about a week or so, and I've got Patrick Mahomes on. We get to have a couple keepers, but there's like 12 guys in my league, so by the time, you know, I'm going to use my first pick, obviously, to save Patrick Mahomes, but then – man, by the time it gets back to me, like most of the wide receivers, they're gone because people, you know, they save them and all that. And I'm just like, or running backs, really good running backs. And I'm just like,
Are you keeping Patrick Mahomes?
I was going to. Is that a bad idea, you think?
Do you lose your first round pick if you do that?
Well, you get to use them on somebody else. You can use it on somebody else, but then somebody else will probably take Patrick Mahomes.
So you don't lose a pick by keeping Patrick Mahomes. Who else do you have? Who are your running backs?
Well, my running backs aren't great. I have a guy from Jacksonville, and then I was at the bottom of the barrel.
Who do you think your next best player is besides Mahomes?
Oh, gosh, Keenan Allen, maybe. That's
If you don't lose any specific pick or anything like that to keep Mahomes, I'm fine with Mahomes this year. I'll be aggressively drafting him this year. Are your touchdowns the same for a quarterback as they are for a running back or receiver? Do running backs and receivers get more for a touchdown?
I don't really know, I guess, but
if it's the same, it's a no-brainer. If it's the same, because I play in a lot of leagues that do that. In fact, most of the leagues I play and value the quarterbacks a little higher because of that. And is it one or two quarterbacks you can play at once?
You only get to have one quarterback at the.
I'm still fine. If your next best players are Keenan Allen and Etienne, and it doesn't matter by round two, I would draft Mahomes before either of those players this year. Quarterbacks are deep. Yeah. It's never been deeper, and we appreciate the call, Cole. Tommy, I think Patrick Mahomes is about to blow up this year. I am all in on Mahomes as far as fantasy football goes. Now, there's layers to that, right? All the rules of your league and everything matter. But in the leagues like that I've played in and play in, and we're in one that does not do this, but it's a two quarterback league. So that emphasizes for sure to me he'd be the number one overall pick. But even in leagues where you're getting, you know, the same touchdown for everybody, like where it's not deducted a little bit, I'm all in on Mahomes over any other quarterback, at least for sure.
Yeah, there's not a lot of situations where in history of fantasy football where you're, you know, going to look at taking a quarterback around the same time that, you know, the top wide receivers are going. Usually wide receivers, especially in PPR leagues, are, you know, going to be a hot commodity. Yeah. And running backs, there's only a couple of them that are, you know, probably elite that can separate themselves from the rest of the running backs in the league. So they'll be a hot commodity as well. You know, usually a lot of the quarterbacks, at least in the leagues that I play in, will go fourth, fifth, sixth round, somewhere around there, just because even the really good quarterbacks are going to get you about the same amount of points as a mediocre quarterback for the most part. There are exceptions. But, you know, if Mahomes can really go off the way that at least you're anticipating he will for this season, then that does solidify, you know, that thought process. I'm sure he's going to go relatively high in a majority of people's drafts.
Yeah, I mean, most people would still take Josh Allen, maybe even take Lamar Jackson, because they run and Mahomes doesn't run a ton. And I get that. But, you know, I think he's going 40-plus touchdowns. I think he's going to challenge 5,000 yards. You know, if he stays healthy, I think the numbers are going to be there. Zeb watching said the Chiefs look calm, cool, and collected, whether you're seeing fights and other things from other teams. A lot of that's because of Mahomes. And they're all business right now. And that's – look, he may not be – over, and I'm not saying in normal circumstances I'm taking him number one overall. I'm not saying that at all. I wouldn't take him, you know, in normal circumstances, in the rules that most people play fantasy football by, I probably wouldn't take him until like the third round. But depending on your rules, if it's two quarterbacks, if you get the same for touchdowns by everybody, then I would start to consider him in that first round. You know, I'm not taking him over Breece Hall unless it's a two quarterback league. I'm all love Breece Hall this year, or CMC, or Bijan Robinson, or you know, Tyreek Hill, or CeeDee Lamb, or any of those guys. But I am on Mahomes. I have no problem with you keeping him. Thanks for the call, Cole. Tommy, the Royals are off today after their big win yesterday. Big win. Massive win. They're within four games again of Cleveland, who all of a sudden has lost five games. Okay. Five games in a row for Cleveland. I do think, and Cleveland was, this is what's crazy about it, and I know Guardian fans have to be frustrated. They're finally aggressive at the deadline, and then all of a sudden they're playing their worst baseball of the year. Wouldn't you know it, right? And so the Royals have an opening here to go after them. As I'm watching the Royals right now and the offense is clicking, and we talked in the first hour about Vinny Pasquantino and the resurgence of Melendez and Renfro and all of this stuff, what I fear is if this is truly a streaky team, which we saw that in the first half that they go cold again. I guess that's in there. I don't know now with Pasquantino grooving and Bobby Witt Jr. and of course Salvi, you just trust. I think they'll be able to sustain it even if that is the case. But I mean, the difference in Renfro now versus Renfro early, the different, doesn't it look like, maybe this is just me. Right now, and I know this isn't the case, MJ Melendez looks like he's going to hit a home run every time he's up at the plate. The ball feels like it's jumping off of his bat. Now, what does that mean? He's still not going to be, you know, all world or anything, but the threat of that being there for him, he's confident. Like it is looking good for this Royals offense. And if the starters can maintain their way through, they're going to get into the postseason. And, you know, it looks like a complete team to me.
Should Bobby Witt Jr. be the MVP in the American League? And maybe not should be, but will he be the MVP? And what will it take if he's not, you know, currently the leader, which he's not, Aaron Judge is. What will it take for him to be the MVP in the American League? That's really where I've, like, every time I watch him come to bat, I'm thinking about to myself,
really,
like, what's it going
to
take?
They really need to reach the postseason. They really have got to get into the postseason. He's going to have to be, I think, the leader in WAR for it to happen, which he could be because of the premium defense he plays. I think those two things probably need to happen. But here's the deal. Like, we know the Aaron Judge story. Everybody's learning the Bobby Witt Jr. story. These are voted on, right? MVPs are voted on. So he has that going for him, too. But it's going to be hard to – if Judge hits 50-55 home runs, and I don't even know what his RBI number would be. It's out of this world what he's done offensively this year. If he continues on that pace, the Royals at minimum are going to have to get to the playoffs. Because if you have Judge sitting there and the Royals are not a playoff team, I'm not sure they're going to give Bobby – as much as some of them might want to, I'm not sure they'll do it. So, I mean, and obviously he has to make...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Maintain the pace he's on right now, which seems crazy, but he just keeps doing it. I don't think there are statistical benchmarks that are going to make too much of a difference. I think it's more of the analytics crowd with WAR, and I think they're going to have to reach the postseason.
I think that's a big part of it. I also think that there needs to be that consideration. It's really easy with a guy like Aaron Judge because you know he's going to go up and just clobber a bunch of home runs, and he's in that major, major market. But, you know, like Bobby Witt Jr. does a whole lot of things that Aaron Judge doesn't. And he also hits those home runs, by the way. So that's what makes it tough. I mean, I understand the WAR is there, and that's really, you know, going to be a major, I think, deciding factor for the voters. And I get it. The Royals need to make the playoffs, but Bobby Witt Jr. Is not the only factor in whether or not the Royals make the playoffs. He's a large factor in that, but he's not the only factor in that. And so let's say that, and I don't think it's going to happen, but let's say that the Royals falter and they fall off and they don't make the playoffs. I'm not sure that that should be held against Bobby Witt Jr.
Well, I'm not sure if it should be, but it's going to be. And it depends. If you go wins above replacement, you see different things. I see, and I don't know why this is. I'm not a computer nerd, so I don't understand why. When you look at this, some places WAR has a higher Judge has a higher WAR. Some places Witt has a higher WAR. Why? In some places, the defense is added in at a different level. Like, literally everybody has a different calculation, I guess, on WAR. So I don't know what I'm looking at there. But either way, it's going to be close. So, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. gets to the 30-30 club and gets to 100 RBIs, and he's still hitting above, 340, and the Royals make the playoffs. I think he's a new enough, fresh enough story that voters are going to fall in love with that. More than Judge, even if Judge does hit 55 home runs and 170 RBIs or whatever ridiculous pace he's on. And Bobby Witt Jr. is getting it done with his glove, too. It's not just that he plays shortstop.
That should be a huge part of it.
It should be. It's not just that he plays shortstop. It's that he plays shortstop at a really high level, right? And that does matter. It does matter.
And it goes back, and this is an age-old question that has been debated for decades. What is the true definition of the most valuable player? Is it the best player, or is it the player that is most valuable to their team? And Bobby Witt
Jr.
is
the playoff argument.
And Bobby Witt Jr. is the most valuable player to the Royals, no doubt about it. Aaron Judge is the most valuable player to the Yankees, but who is more valuable to their respective team? And I would argue that Bobby Witt Jr. is for the Royals, because without Bobby Witt Jr., the Royals are not anywhere close to where they are right now. The Yankees have more talent, more overall top-to-bottom talent.
They made some additions at the trade deadline to certainly get more talented. Man, I don't know. Like, outside
got,
of Judge and Soto,
Soto
look
on
at
their team,
lineup.
And they've got Chisholm on their team. Their pitching
now
staff.
Now they do.
Is, but, I mean, the Royals pitching
Chisholm
staff is great,
weeks.
Too. But I'm just
go
saying, like, from top to
their
bottom.
Their lineup has not been that good. I mean, top to bottom, let me see how many runs they've scored this year. They've scored 590 runs. The Royals have scored 554. Not a massive difference there, right? They've been a pretty good pitching team. But I mean, the chatter out of New York, and I hear it because we hear Infinity Sports Network here, where a lot of those guys are based, is that they were so top heavy until they got Chisholm. I'll tell you this, on August 8th, it doesn't matter, because probably it's going to sort itself out. If both of them continued at the exact same clip they're at right now and both make the playoffs, then I would say my gut tells me Bobby Witt Jr. would get the nod. Because it's new, it's fresh. The Royals themselves are such a great story this year. You'd be looking at that point at one of, if not the biggest turnarounds in a one-year period ever in the history of the game, and Bobby Witt Jr. has been the poster boy for it. He did the home run derby. So all of those things would tell me, if everything stayed the same and they both reached the postseason, that probably Bobby Witt Jr. is going to get that MVP award. And if that stays true too, he's probably going to have a higher total WAR, so it's an easy justification. I just don't want to downplay what Judge is doing this year. What Judge is doing this year, it's not like this is just regular old, oh, Aaron Judge does this every year. He's on a stupid pace right now.
And that's great. And Aaron Judge, and I don't want to be critical of Judge either, because I do think that what we're watching from him as far as, his home run capability, 1,000% incredibly valuable, the most valuable player on his team. There's no doubt about that. But in holistically, from top to bottom, Bobby Witt Jr. is what, a five-tool player, and is more complete and does a variety of different things. And notwithstanding what he's doing on the field, which we just talked about. And that's why I do think you have to take into consideration the fielding WAR and where the stats on that. And combine that with his batting WAR. And I looked that up, and I know there are different metrics in different places. I looked it up, I think, last week when we talked about it. And when you combine his batting WAR and his fielding WAR, it's great. I mean, it's far beyond anybody else, including Aaron Judge. And so if you're really looking at it from a complete standpoint, a complete viewpoint, it's Bobby Witt Jr. at the top and then everybody else underneath that.
You're just looking at a situation where Judge might flirt with 60 home runs. He's got a higher average than he normally does. I mean, his power numbers are absolutely off the charts this year. I do think it's a factor, right? Is he going to reset the home run record? I don't think so, but it's like, if he gets hot, he might. And then you've got that to think about in there too. His RBIs are going to be higher than they ever have been. His batting average is going to be higher than it ever has been. I think his OPS is higher than Bobby Witt Jr.'s. I think by a fairly significant, you know, stretch. I don't know what the highest OPS is ever in a season. I'll look this up. But he's going to be close to that, I would think. Let me see what it is. And that's it, because that's another number people look at a lot. You know what I mean? And he's like, that's what I mean. Like he is flirting. Barry, he's not getting to where Barry Bonds was. So let's not do that. Barry Bonds was at 1.42. That is absolutely.
Yeah, that was flipping. I don't think we'll ever see that again.
Well, Josh Gibson gets put into that now too. We got to remember, and his would be higher. But outside of Barry Bonds, you had Babe Ruth a couple times. Yeah, I don't know how historically he'll get high in there, probably because of walks. I'm not sure, but it's just, I don't want to downplay the offense, the power that he's displaying. I do think this sorts itself out, right? I do think if Witt continues this pace, he will be your MVP because of everything considered. Is he going to be a 350 hitter the rest of the way? I just cannot believe. I never saw that from him. I never saw him as a 350 hitter. I saw everything else as like a 280 hitter, right? So if he maintains it, he's going to get the MVP. Unless Aaron Judge breaks the home run record, and then that would change things.
Then it'll be a really, really, really tight race, I think. And I'm not sure I could predict it. I'm not sure I would be able to say one way or another who would win the MVP.
No, I can't now. That's the fun of it, right? There's 2 months to go. I cannot tell you who I think will win because I have no idea. But it'll be one of those two guys, most likely. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. It is back open for you. The Royals, again, day off today. We'll come back. We'll take a quick look around the sports world. Maybe that's our opportunity to get a little bit on this Jim Harbaugh story, which is pretty wild. A bird's eye look. I don't want to dig totally into it, but I do think it's pretty interesting. The White Sox fired their manager, by the way. I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on that, but that did happen. And then we can get the latest potentially on the Brandon Ayuk rumors. That's all a little hodgepodge for you here on Sports Daily as we wrap up a Thursday.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Hey, Sports Daily on KFH. Tommy, this Jim Harbaugh stuff, all the details and the fancy language and all that other stuff. Basically, if he ever wants to come back to college football, he's got to sit out a year by the hiring school. There's a lot of stuff in there. He has been so adamant against any of this stuff, and they are saying he is so guilty. It's just really weird how defiant he's been. But hey, he ain't going back to college football. I don't know that he ever was anyway. It's felt like he wanted out of that game for a long time. Maybe this has something to do with it. But he's not. He's not going back, right? Like he's done with college.
And he didn't want to be in college. That was very clear.
He tried to get out every year. He got and then out. He won a national championship.
Right. He got out at the right time. And look, I think that again, this actual show cause order that the NCAA levied on Jim Harbaugh has nothing to do with the Connor Stallions situation. It has nothing to do with what Sherrone Moore is being accused of right now with Michigan. That's a whole separate thing. This is what about a cheeseburger? It's about Jim Harbaugh sharing a cheeseburger with a potential recruit during like the COVID time when they weren't able to meet with recruits, I think. And it's just like, okay, I don't really care at the end of the day. It would be different if Harbaugh was still in college, if he was still coaching at Michigan. Then I would care. because we're a month away, less than a month away from the start of the season, I would care if Jim Harbaugh was still coaching in college football, but he's not. It's like, again, I think I mentioned this yesterday, it's not unlike Pete Carroll leaving USC, going to the NFL, and then USC had all of the sanctions against them and all of that. Now, will it get to that point at Michigan? I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, Pete Carroll ended up in the NFL, never looked back, never went back to college. And when people think of Pete Carroll, at least in my mind, I don't think of Pete Carroll as the coach at USC that had all of the scandals and, you know, everything that happened after he left. I think of Pete Carroll as a Super Bowl coach with the Seahawks. That's what I think of Pete Carroll for. And that's, I think, the way Jim Harbaugh will be remembered.
These coaches talk to players all year. This doesn't matter to most people. And yes, you have to have rules in place. And yes, you should follow them and all of these things. But I mean, come on now. Like, at the end of the day, it's not like if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I mean, there's some of that in there. I'm not trying to say that I'm okay with that. I like to live in reality, right? Like, I want to live in reality. And I have seen some of the penalties handed out for some of the most ridiculous, stupid things. So it just doesn't bother me. I don't care. I don't care.
Now, that being said, though, there was, and I read this earlier today, that a former staffer at Michigan, when interviewed by the NCAA, I think he was the recruiting director at Michigan, told the NCAA that there was a culture at Michigan of not only going up to the line, but then crossing the line if you have to get recruits to campus, to be able to try to find ways, you know, to get them to Michigan. So, I mean, that does relate back to the if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying kind of scenario. If there was that, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't shock me if that was the culture at Michigan. Honestly, that's probably the culture at a lot of places. But
I was going to say, what do you think the percentage of that same philosophy of big colleges out there, what do you think the percentage that would have that same philosophy would be?
I mean, 100%. Maybe not 100%, but a lot of them. A lot of 90. Them. A lot of them.
I mean,
you know.
I hope that everybody look. It's fine. It's not that important to me. I just don't care. Yeah. And this story is going to get a lot of run. And who cares? He's going to be coaching the NFL now for the rest of his career, most likely. He wanted out of college anyway. He'd been trying to get out of college anyway for a long time. Good luck on our text contest. You've got two big opportunities there, everybody. We will come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today. It does not include Royals baseball. So what else is there? We'll hit that next as we wrap up this Thursday on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one. number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.